I'm Shoshi Shmulevitz, a producer at America Abroad. This month on the show, we're looking at the stories behind U.S. special operations, specifically why they've become so important to the war against ISIS. And one of the reasons is that insurgents often live among locals. The challenge there is finding ways to separate the two, getting civilians to trust American forces instead of ISIS. One division of the military's Special Operations Command is tasked with just that, psychological operations, or PSYOP. For this special web extra, I went down to Fort Bragg, North Carolina, and I spoke with Lieutenant Colonel Chris Stengel. He's the battalion commander of the 3rd Psychological Operations Battalion Airborne. What is PSYOP?
PSYOP is about behavior and modifying behavior in foreign audiences. That, in the easiest sense, is what we are. Originally created as part of the special warfare model. I mean, we did some PSYOP in World War I, but it was just listed as generally as propaganda, which is always interesting because propaganda is truthful information conveyed. But in World War II, we really looked at how we could weaponize the psychological aspect of warfare. It was, how do we get the enemy to capitulate, get then morphed? How do we prevent war? Or in the case of unconventional warfare, how do we increase the opportunities for success by influencing the behaviors of populations in countries where we're trying to operate?
Can you give me just a bullet points of what you guys do?
So we are basically the private production house for the psychological operations community. We develop, produce products for the regional battalions around the world, wherever they're conducting operations. And then we distribute those products to them and help them with dissemination, whether that be recording loudspeaker broadcast for them if necessary, or producing leaflets, handbills, posters, audiovisual products like TV, or things that may go out on the internet. We focus on foreign audiences, not necessarily just military or enemy audiences. It can be friendly audiences, depending on what we're doing and where we're at.
So what kind of content do you make?
Anything from surrender appeals, if we're trying to get enemy formations to surrender or give in, to almost like a duck and cover type of product for the local populations, giving them a way to avoid injury during large-scale military operations. Telling them, you know, stay away from the windows, stay away from external walls, those types of things that would keep them away from stray bullets, stray shrapnel, and other types of pieces. So they were really graphic imagery work. There was writing on there, but there were also pictures so that young kids and others could understand it, maybe if they were illiterate. Most of those were disseminated via leaflet bombs that were dropped from B-52s or other type of aircraft. All of our products really go through a fairly rigorous process, right? So not only are we looking at the lines of persuasion, but we're also understanding the culture and the region and the area we're operating in. And so in one particular instance, we had ISIS down to 3 or so acres of space. They were down to a very small area, but they were still using females and children as their human shields. And so we had to figure out a way to get a product into these populations, particularly the women and children, that would separate them from what could potentially be their husbands fighting on behalf of ISIS. We had to help them understand that there were safe routes and that they, once they came across the line, would be well cared for and that they wouldn't be exploited. And so we were able to come up with a series of products that detailed how they should come across the line, what they should do. I think we had more than 11 women and roughly 20 or so children that came out because of the leaflet and the effort there.
What did you produce there?
It was ended up being a locally acceptable cartoon graphic that was easy to understand in a leaflet form that we could airdrop into the remaining area, that even if you couldn't read, you would understand how to come across the line, surrender, that would communicate safety and would increase trust, which is very tough to do with a piece of paper. So
how do you know what to do, how to word these documents? Where do you get methods from and how do you study that?
It's largely a behavioral economic approach that we take. We have folks that are sociologists, we have folks that are psychologists, folks that have marketing background and degrees, so we really have a wide array in the PSYOP community. All of us are kind of amateur behavioral economists. We're interested in what makes people move and change. To be honest, we've done very little unconventional warfare in the truest sense of overthrowing governments and those types of things. We've spent more time preserving existing status quo or preserving existing governments or working to modify behaviors that are particularly negative to the stability of a given region. We spend a lot of time thinking about nothing but impacting behavior. While our lethal counterparts, the infantry, the armor, the artillery, you know, they think very hard about how they drop steal on target. So while those guys are honing their skills on what happens if it absolutely goes so bad we end up in a shooting war, our goal is either to prevent the shooting war or set the conditions in the event of a shooting war that is most advantageous to those guys on the ground. How do we keep as many of our brothers and sisters in either the U.S. military or our coalition or host nation, partner nation force alive and put them in the best positions to impact the enemy? How do we preserve as much life, potentially on both ends of the line, as possible? So it's a delicate balance between lethal and non-lethal. We see where we fit in and what the situation requires.
I think when you're dealing with psychology and kind of getting into people's heads in that way, even in what you do, it raises a certain types of maybe ethical questions. I wonder if you've thought about that, if you've dealt with it in your own work at all.
I see what I do as a way to prevent wars, reduce casualties, and protect my brothers and sisters in arms, my coalition partners, the partner nation, and my nation, the civilian populations here in the United States, from harm. I have never been in a position where I'm like, oh my, is this the right thing to do? Am I messing with people's minds? No, because ultimately we're just trying to get them to make a better choice.
Thanks for listening to this special short podcast. It was produced by me and edited by Rob Sachs. To hear all of our episodes, including this month's show on special operations, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or find us at pri.org/AmericaAbroad.